Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the screen the title of today's sermon, The Only Two Religions? Find in our main text in Genesis 15, which reads, And the Lord brought Abram outside and said, Look toward the heavens and number the stars, if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. This morning I invite you to follow your sermon outline provided for you in your bulletin as we consider our theme, The Only Two Religions. There's an ancient legend that's told called The Lady and the Tiger. In this legend, a man is placed into a huge arena filled with thousands of spectators and the seats above him. And on that arena floor, there are two doors. If he chooses one door, he meets a beautiful woman in a room full of countless riches. If he chooses the other door, he meets a man-eating tiger and is sure destruction. There are only two doors, and everything depends on the door through which he enters. Martin Luther once said that there really only are two religions in the whole world. There are only two doors. These doors are on your handout. The doors of the religion of good works or the door of faith. And as was true with the lady and the tiger legend, one door means life and one door means destruction and death. Today we're going to examine the religion of good works and the religion of faith and see where these doors lead us. So first of all, door number one, almost feel like a game show host. Will it be door number one or door number two? Today, we'll start off by looking at door number one, the righteousness of man, the religion of good works, that is, trying to be a good person. Many people today, if they hope to get to heaven, say they hope to get there by, quote, being good, doing good works. As popular as this teaching is, it is absolutely not the teaching of the Holy Bible. And this view leads to false beliefs. I just listed a couple of them for you on your handout. One false belief is this. We deserve special treatment from God. That is, if I do good, I deserve a reward. Now, in my youth confirmation class and in my adult confirmation class, I tell this story every year. There's no better illustration of this false teaching that I deserve special treatment of God because of my faith and my good works. A man came to me years ago when I was a pastor in Seattle, and he told me on that Wednesday evening he was planning to kill himself. Our church facility was just a few miles from Puget Sound and where the ferries took off. He told me he was going to jump off the ferry and end his own life. When I asked why, he told me that basically he had been taught that if he had enough faith and did enough good deeds, God would bless him. Now, he had tried hard, but unfortunately, he had even made his faith into a good work, something he did to get something back, like a loony in a slot machine. But in 1 month's time, folks, this dear man lost his house to the bank. His wife ran off with another man. And his little girl contracted a disease that could take her life. So his false belief drove him to despair. If good deeds earn God's rewards, and he had tried so hard, and he was suffering these tragedies, how could he ever do enough? What hope could there possibly be? And there's another false belief that comes from this door number one of good works religion. The second false belief is this: we get right with God by our good deeds. That is, we earn salvation on the basis of our good works. Jesus himself dismissed this falsehood when he addressed a number of Pharisees one day. Listen to what he told them in Matthew 5:48. He said, "Then you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." He said to these men who were convinced of their own righteousness based on their own good deeds, "Oh, you want to get right with God on the basis of your good deeds and good lives? Then fine," he says, "your test score must be 100%. Be perfect as God is perfect." But whoops, and are you listening? Whoops. The Bible tells us all that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then there's that Bible passage from Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah says it very graphically: all our self-righteousness are like filthy rags. Isaiah tells us that our self-righteousness stinks in God's nostrils. The holy and almighty God is offended when we think we can impress him with our lists of good deeds or good works. Isaiah tells us that trying to get right with God on the basis of door number one, good works, doesn't work. Door number one, the righteousness of man, leads us to a very difficult question. How can I ever be sure I'm good enough? Door number one leads to a dead-end street. So says Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death." Remember the lady and the tiger legend? Door number one, the righteousness of man, is the tiger. But now let's see door number two. Look on your handout. The righteousness of God that comes through faith. This door is what our Old Testament lesson today from Genesis 15 was all about. Genesis 15:6 tells us, quote, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." Almighty God had promised 100-year-old Abraham that he would be a father, that his son would be named Isaac. The word Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. God would have the last laugh. At 190, this ancient couple would have a boy. His name was Laughing Boy. Abraham was promised by God that he would have not just Isaac, but many descendants. And from him would come the nation of Israel, and from the nation of Israel would come the long-awaited Savior, Jesus. And God creates faith in Abraham's heart by the event described in Genesis 15. Listen to the text. "And the Lord brought Abram outside and said, 'Look to heaven and number the stars in the heaven if you're able. Abraham, so shall your offspring be.'" And the text says, "Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." God's word of promise, this is so important, folks, God's word of promise created faith in Abraham's heart. And Abraham trusted God to keep his promise. And on the basis of God's promise, Abram is counted righteous. Please note, it's not Abraham's faith that makes him righteous. It's what Abraham's faith is in. Abraham's faith is not in his own good works. Abraham's faith is not in his own faith. Abraham's faith is a humble dependence on God's word of promise. And trusting God, Abraham is declared to be righteous, right with God. Righteousness is God's act and God's gift, not our action. This is what precisely St. Paul says in Romans chapter 4. Now listen to this text. Paul writes, "Then what shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by his works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Righteousness is based on God's gift, and it's simply received by a humble faith. This is what Paul also says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works," says Paul, "so no one can boast." But now comes the most important question of the sermon. And if for any reason you have temporarily tuned out of the sermon, now's the time to tune back in. Here is the question of the whole sermon. Here is the reason to preach the whole sermon. Here's the reason we come to God's house Sunday after Sunday, to be assured of this truth. How can you be righteous? How can a sinner like you and me get right with a holy and perfect God? Will it be door number one? Or door number two? Will it be the door of good works or the door of trusting faith? Just like Abraham, you are made right with God by a humble trusting faith in God's word of promise. Today, God is calling you to trust His word of promise. His word of promise given to you in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Jesus, you've heard of him, right? Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life, and he did it for you. Jesus, as the children told us this morning, died upon the cross, making payment for the sins of the world, and he did it for you. Jesus rose from death, victorious over sin, death, and the devil, and he did it, guess for whom? For us, for you, for me. God's promise to you in Jesus has been kept. And today he calls you to lay aside your trust in your paltry good works, in your self-righteousness, and instead to trust only and always in what your Savior has done for you. My friends, righteousness depends on what God has done for us, not upon what we do for ourselves. If you're looking at the sermon outline, we're at the conclusion. When I was a little boy, quite a little boy, before I even started going to school, I would often go for a walk with my papa, with my father, in the cow pastures of our dairy farm. Sometimes I had trouble keeping up with him. We walked over uneven pastures. And I'd stumble and fall as I tried to keep up with my dad walking through the uneven field. I tried to hold on to his big farmer's hand, but it was just too big. Sometimes I could just barely hang on to his little finger. Even then, I couldn't get a good grip, and down I would go. And one day as I fell face forward into a fresh cow pie. Wow. After getting cleaned up, my father laughed and said these important words, "Son, I think if I held your hand, you wouldn't fall. And later, as his strong, calloused farmer's hands grasped onto mine, I did just fine. My friends, it all depends on who's holding your hand. Being right with God does not depend on your good works, your strong faith, your grasp on God's little finger. No, that's door number one, the righteousness of man, the religion of works. Being right with God is all about his promise to us in Jesus, his grip on us, his nail-pierced hands holding firmly onto us, whatever life throws our way. This is door number two, the righteousness of God. The religion of trusting faith. And like Abraham, we are made righteous by God's grace through humble faith. This is the only door for us to walk through from now unto life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen.